We are turning to God's Word today as we find it in the book of Revelation and in chapter 7. The page number is 1207, 1207. Revelation chapter 7, and we're turning to a very familiar passage there. We want to begin the reading at verse 9. Let us hear the word of God. After these things, John writes, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more, nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them, and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Amen. And we know that God will, as ever, add his own blessing to the reading of his inspired word. Well, we're going to turn now to that passage that we read a little earlier on from Revelation chapter 7. I'm sure the context is familiar to you. The Apostle John, of course, in exile, is here in this particular passage that we're looking at today, given, as it were, a little glimpse right down through the avenues of time and into eternity itself. And he has this wonderful vision of heaven and of the saints gathered around the throne and in front of the Lamb, praising God with a loud voice. And of course, as he observes what is taking place there, we read that the question is posed to him, who are these arrayed in white garments and where have they come from? And we are brought right to the very heart of the gospel once again by that question. The response comes, of course, reminding him who they are. These are they who have washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And we are thinking very particularly about that verse 14 today. Who are these arrayed in white raiment and where have they come from? These are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. As we think about the text, I want you to notice, first of all, here today that we see there is cleansing provided by God. Here is a cleansing provided by God, and we're told that this cleansing is in the blood of the Lamb. Back, of course, in the Old Testament, we're reminded of that very teaching. The book of Leviticus tells us that it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. And, of course, that way provided under the Old Testament law was not, we know, eternally effective, but rather only designed to point forward to the fact that in the fullness of time, God would, as he had promised, send forth the Messiah, the Redeemer of his people. And we can thank God today that in the fullness of time, the Lamb of God came to take away sins forever by that one sacrifice that he offered on the cross at Calvary. Right throughout the Old Testament, God was endeavoring to teach his people that he would, in the fullness of time, do that. And of course, the Old Testament is filled with types pointing forward to the coming Christ. All of these illustrations pointed to the fulfillment of God's promise that one day the Redeemer would be born. And of course, the Lamb of God was to come. And John the Baptist recognized him when he saw him that day pass by, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Yes, here indeed in this text we see cleansing provided by God. But not only is there cleansing provided by God here, we find here cleansing that was accepted by man. If you look at what the text says, it says concerning these people that John sees in this wonderful vision in heaven, he says, "They have washed their robes." They have washed their robes. There are, of course, you will know in Scripture, things that are explicitly stated. There are other things that are very clearly there by implication. I want to suggest to you that there are two things that are implied in these words, "They have washed their robes," and then, of course, there is the very explicit meaning of what is being said here as well. But firstly, let me suggest to you that the people who washed their robes, as John is reminded of here, these people had realized that their robes needed to be cleansed. They would not have been washing robes that were spotlessly white. The ladies here this morning, when it comes to the washing, think that they have enough to do when they wash the dirty clothes. They don't put in the clean ones with the dirty ones to wash them all over again. These people realized that their robes needed to be cleansed. They would hardly have washed robes that were spotlessly white. They realized that they were sinners in the sight of the thrice holy God, and they realized that their sin needed to be dealt with. And you know, that's got to be the case with you and with me. For unless we realize that we are sinners, unless we realize that our robes, as it were, need to be cleansed, and recognize that we are on that broad road heading for destruction, then we'll never ever come to experience God's salvation. Unless we first recognize that we're filthy and condemned and unclean. So we need to come under that conviction of sin. And of course, it's God the Spirit alone who's able to bring us to that place where we realize our need. And when we recognize that we must seek him for cleansing. I don't know any of you here today, and I don't know where you stand in this matter. Maybe you have long time since come to that understanding and sought God's salvation and have experienced his cleansing. But if not, then let me encourage you to be thinking very seriously about it today. Yes, the first thing that's implied in these words, "They have washed their robes," is that they realized their robes were not clean and that their lives were not clean and that they needed that only cleansing that would fit them for heaven. But secondly, I think implied in these words, "They washed their robes," is the fact that they knew where cleansing could be obtained. It's one thing to know that you need to be cleansed from your sin. It's something else to know where that cleansing can be found. But these people certainly understood that only the Lord Jesus Christ could cleanse them. they had discovered that fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Yes, this was most surely their experience, and they were aware that Jesus and he alone could blot out their transgressions. Only he had the power to forgive sins. They knew that he was truly the Son of God, and that only he could make them clean. They knew where cleansing could be obtained. But of course, the greatest fact of all contained in these words is that which is explicitly stated. It simply says they washed their robes. For you see, it's one thing to realize that you need cleansing and you need God's salvation because you're a sinner. It's something else to know that only Jesus Christ is able to forgive you your sins and to set you on the road for heaven and home. But we've got to act upon what we know and what the Holy Spirit has brought us to understand. And these people had certainly done that. You see, sadly, there are many people in the world today, and they understand well that they're sinners. And they understand very clearly that they need to be cleansed. And they understand equally clearly that Christ and Christ alone is the only one who can deal with their sin problem, the only one who can wash them and make them clean and fit them for heaven at the end of life's journey. But they do nothing about it. They allow the devil to mislead them and keep them thinking, perhaps, that they've got plenty of time. Not today will I get saved. We all know people like that. They know their need. They know who can meet their need. But they never do anything about it. When I leave school, maybe then I'll get saved. After I found a job, when I get married, after the family have grown up, when I retire. And so it goes on. And sadly for many, it goes on until the end of their days, and they never find time to seek God and to seek Christ and his cleansing and his salvation. How sad, but that's how it is. You see, such people fail to realize how short life really is. They fail to understand, as James reminds us, that it's like a little mist or vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes very quickly away. They forget that death is on their track and that one day, sooner than they realize, they will go the way of all the earth. They forget that now is the accepted time with God. You see, as I read the word of God, I never find it promises salvation tomorrow. Now is the accepted time with God, and now is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Yes, for you and I have no guarantee of tomorrow. Tomorrow may be but eternity, just hidden from our view. Yes, there are many people in the world today like that. They know their need, especially in this land in which we live. And they understand that Christ alone can meet that need. But they do nothing about it. They listen to Satan, and he deceives them, and they keep putting off what they know in reality they need to do. Well, these people here in the text that we're looking at and in the passage that we're thinking about today, they certainly weren't like that. For they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Not only did they recognize their need and know who could meet their need, they did what had to be done. They came and cried out to Christ to save them. They washed their robes. Yes, here is cleansing provided by God. Here is cleansing accepted by man. These people were willing to accept this cleansing and to know the forgiveness that Christ alone is able to supply. There's no doubt that these people clearly recognized what they needed to do. As John gazes upon this wonderful scene in heaven, he sees them there before the throne and in front of the Lamb. Yes, here is cleansing accepted by man. But thirdly, there's something else in the text that we note. Here is cleansing that's recognized by heaven. Indeed, it's the only cleansing. Will this cleansing be accepted by heaven? There's not the slightest doubt about that. For here these people are. They're already there. These people are not vaguely hoping for heaven, as many people are today. When you ask them, are you going to heaven? Their reply will be probably something like, I hope so. Maybe. I hope so. But it's not the sure and certain hope that the gospel gives us that they're talking about when they say, I hope so. Really, it's filled with doubt, and they have no certainty whatsoever that they're going there. But not so with these people. They're already there. However difficult the passage here below through grace to glory has been, it's been overcome. And here John sees them gathered around the throne. That difficulty and all of the problems of life have been overcome, and they are safely home in the presence of the Lord. But let's notice and let's not forget this morning that they're not there because of any virtue in them. You'll notice today that it was not because they were good people. It was not because they were good church members. It was not because they were elders or ministers or had preached to people. It was not for any of those reasons at all. It was not because they belonged to any particular denomination or indeed to none. For sometimes, you know, we can depend upon the denomination we belong to. Or for some people, it's the fact that they would say they don't belong to any denomination. But it wasn't for any of those reasons that John is told these people were in heaven. Who are these arrayed in white raiment, and where have they come from? These are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Guilty and undeserving of mercy, they had bowed humbly at the throne of grace, and they had said, I am trusting thee for cleansing. In the crimson flood, trusting thee to make me holy by thy blood. Yes, that had been their prayer, and they had not prayed in vain, for here they are in heaven itself, where they're singing a new song, saying, you are worthy, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Friends, let's notice here today that the love of God knows no barriers. There is no division amongst the true church of Jesus Christ. There will be those in heaven of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. But let's never forget there will only be those who have washed their robe and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this is the only cleansing that's recognized by heaven. Let me just digress for a moment to think about heaven and what heaven is like. In verse 17 of the chapter, we notice the greatest thing about heaven. For there we read that the Lamb is in the midst of the throne. Yes, Jesus is there. And what a wonder it will be to be face to face with the Lamb of God. My dear saint here today, can I ask you, are you looking forward to that day with blessed anticipation? Does it motivate you and encourage you and spur you on as you travel here through all the changing scenes of life? Are you looking forward to that day when you'll meet your Savior face to face? What a day indeed that will be. Yes, on that day, we really, truly understand the words of the songwriter who said, by his blood he dearly bought me, wandering from the fold he sought me, and to glory safely brought me, worthy the Lamb. But notice also concerning heaven that there be no more hunger and no more thirst. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them to fountains of living waters. How wonderful. And there'll be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Indeed, all the things that afflict us here in this earthly life will be gone and gone forever. And what an encouragement here in the final verse of this passage for saints who may be feeling hard-pressed in these days and who've had to suffer terribly even as they've journeyed and sought to live for the Lord on this earthly scene. What an encouragement to be reminded that when we get there, the Lord Himself will wipe away every tear from our eyes. How worthwhile, if only for the fact that Jesus is going to wipe away all our tears. My, these things will pale into insignificance. This reminds us of those words that the Apostle Paul speaks when he says that the troubles of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Yes, heaven's a wonderful place, beyond our imagining. But this little glimpse into it surely ought to encourage the hearts of God's people. However, we need to remind ourselves again that if we're going to be there, we need to be cleansed, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need that cleansing provided by God, and that only cleansing that's recognized by heaven. We need to ensure that we have been born again of the Spirit of God and washed in the Savior's blood. I'm sure that no one here today has any desire to not be in heaven. I'm sure we all want to be there someday. But if we're going to be there, we need this cleansing that God has provided by the death and resurrection of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I ask you this morning, what are you depending on to get you to heaven? Are you depending upon the precious shed blood of the Lamb? I trust you are. For all other ground is sinking sand. Who are these arrayed in white raiment, and where have they come from? These are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God. You don't need me to tell you this morning what that little word therefore means. It simply means for this reason. And if we understand the rest of God's word aright, surely we can say for this reason alone are they there. They're only there because they've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Didn't Jesus Himself say, I am the way, and no one can come to the Father except through me? For neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we can and we must be saved. Yes, He's the only one who can forgive us and cleanse us and bring us safe home to glory. If we're going to be in heaven, we need to make preparation. And here, very clearly, this text shows us the only preparation that will get us there is to recognize our sin, recognize that Christ alone is the only one who can forgive that sin, and come to cry out to Him for mercy and forgiveness and for life eternal. What are you depending on today to get you to to heaven? Have you made that preparation? In the announcements, we were reminded that you're having your communion service next Lord's Day, gathering at the Lord's table to remember his death. That meal, of course, and that celebration is for those who know the Lord, for those who've made this preparation. But of course, God's people are also told to make preparation for coming to that table. We are to examine ourselves, not the person beside us or in front of us or behind us, but to examine ourselves, each one of us as individuals, if we profess to know and love the Lord, is called to look into our own hearts and to examine ourselves. Again, you'll know what that word examine means. We need to look in close detail at these lives of ours and ask ourselves the difficult questions. How am I living for the Lord? Am I living in a way that is pleasing in his sight? Am I doing what he wants me to do? Am I refraining from those things that he wants me to keep away from? What about all of these things? Well, we ought to be thinking about them all of the time, of course, but very especially are we told that we are to examine ourselves before we come to his table. Yes, we must examine our hearts and lives so that we may come in a fit manner. And where there are things that we know we must confess and seek his forgiveness for, we must do that so that we come to that table and know his blessing upon us as we do so. Who are these arrayed in white raiment? Where have they come from? These are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, for that reason, and for that reason alone, they are before the throne of God. They're gathered there around the throne in heaven. What a day it will be when all the saints of every age, when the elect of God are gathered home, to be with him forevermore. Indeed, what a day that will be. Let's ensure that we'll be amongst that blood-washed throng on that great day, because we have come to recognize our need, to realize that Christ is the only one who can meet that need, and we've come by his grace to trust him for a full and a free salvation.